You're listening to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
Welcome to Quantum Leap Book Club. During the next hour, beloved mind scientist Parisha and her guests from around the world will read and discuss various best-selling books with well-known authors. Every show will apply retention techniques designed to help you to absorb powerful knowledge to effectively change your life. Join us every week for a thought-provoking hour and re-listen as often as you can. You will be delighted by what you learn, and you will be excited by the results.
Greetings.
Are you ready to take the quantum leap?
We have a fantastic
Here's
book
Parisha.
Going that is particularly one that's exciting all of us, okay? Inside the Earth. And there's much, much to actually hear and understand. I think that this book not only takes us on the adventure of inside the Earth, but it definitely takes us on the adventure of higher science and understanding. While we're actually following the storyline of a man in the adventure, we're actually getting oogles and boogles of scientific information. It's wonderful. I want to take us into looking at this and actually realizing in ourselves what we have and what we as each an individual actually of ourselves really know and feel this. So this book awakens people. So far, what little bit we have shared and what we've begun with, there's so many people that's actually communicating and talking about the effects that it's having on them. And I mean, we're talking about the inner earth, a subject not well discussed and in most cases not scientifically broadcasted or much information out there, right? So we're going to do that. This week, my co-host and joining our co-host will be Mike Dallaire in Montreal, Canada. Okay, we have Joyce Mullenhauer, who is in Arizona, and we'll have Geraldine Dalby-Ball, who is actually with us in Sydney, Australia. We have Rosemarie Heyer, who is actually coming with us from Frankfurt, Germany. And we have definitely our Trina, who comes to us from Colorado. And we have Marianne Love, who is in Melbourne, Australia. And I don't think I've left anybody out, but we're having six co-hosts this week because we find the element of adding masculinity to this powerful forum of women has actually become a great mix. And we appreciate all of you who are reflecting, actually letting us know that what you're enjoying and how you actually feel about our co-hosts. That's wonderful. I want to begin this week actually bringing you back to page 51, though we will be starting out with our co-host discussing 52 and onward, okay? The point where it actually points out that in the Bible, it's actually expressed in the Bible that we were created out of clay. And the author here brings together a wonderful and fabulous explanation of exactly the common sense and the logic to that, okay? And the discussion here that, and especially any of you who are listening to Nassim Harriman's exploring and actually explaining the black holes, okay? We are each a black hole, and everything that we look at and think is material has a black hole, is actually one in active presence, okay? And so when he says this, he brings it back to giving a greater discussion on actually what the primordial waters are. And I mean, it's really, I find it even some very, what I would consider credible scientists, when I bring this subject up, they are not at all informed on it and know very little about it, okay? And usually they'll say, oh, that's just really nothing proven. Maybe so, but I think that there's a lot of work that has already proven that, okay? And this particular author deals with that as actually showing water. We exist in water. We are water. 70, if not 80% of our body is water. So water is actually what is the open space that's around us. And it is that is cohesively holding us together and everything else. It's the unified field itself. So when we investigate what each one of us are individually, we each have a black hole. And obviously the individuality that we experience, because there's not any one of us alike, nor ever has been or will be, okay, then you have to realize the power of a black hole and what it actually, it creates a reality of itself. And when he brings this up about in the Bible that we're actually told we're from clay, then you would find out the logic of that when you really start reading this book and actually understanding how you can logically put this together. So there's nothing to be ashamed of or backward about to not want to say, I don't understand that. And how could that be? If you don't know, the truth is you don't know. And now you can learn. Okay. And I think it's really very suitable for you to pick this up and actually investigate how it is that you could be a black hole and exactly what is the biblical scripture actually saying, that we were created of clay. When you look at the earth itself, and much of what we've read already is just actually discovering what the earth is herself, okay? And the fact, the wonderful fact, because of my indigenous roots, that we can personalize the earth, that it is an entity. It is a being of itself. And in that being, we are nothing other than cellular particles of that particular field that we call earth. And as we go into the book further and further, this becomes so clear, so very clear. So when I look at this and people ask me about the book that we're reading, I say it's called The Inner Earth, but it's more an inner journey into ourselves. It begins to explain us and our relations of what we are and what surrounds us and what is in the field with us. And so it's actually a greater exploration of you and your actualities. And so as we go through this, it's like I would suggest that any one of the co-hosts, as well as you, begin to look further on the internet and everything and understand black holes more. I suggest definitely going to Harriman's cases and looking him up on YouTube and on the internet, because he's the one talking about the most current information on the black holes. And if you go into some of the other sites, you're going to find they're still talking about it and actually exploring if there are even black holes. Okay. And so at this point, I think to get you up to speed on what we're reading, it would be good that you check into, you know, definitely Harriman stuff. Okay. We're going to begin this week to actually bring in Mike Dallaire in from Montreal. And Mike, you want to discuss some of the stuff that you've been reading, especially starting on page 52.
Yeah, I'm going to pick it up where we start with water and the real way that planets are formed. Good. And at this point, Radu he's come back questioning about the formation of water by black holes. I mean, to him, this blows him away, especially in the, you know, the cosmic vacuum of space, as he calls it. And Dr. Shen explains that there are special conditions, energetic conditions surrounding a black hole, where space-time is distorted. And there's a passing to another dimension, what he calls a manifestation corridor. In my head, I see portals. But under these conditions, the subtle energy of water that exists in the etheric plane is condensed into liquid water in the material plane. So a transmutation happens. And then Dr. Shen goes on to explain how a planet is formed. And so here's the recipe on how a planet is formed. So you start with a vortex of a black hole, forming as the nucleus of your planet. The subtle energy of the water that condenses into the material plane from the etheric plane is expelled from the black hole in the form of ice. Now the ice mixes with dust and other material and it forms stars. And these stars are pulled back towards the black hole by the force of gravity. And as they get closer, they actually form a plug around the vortex. And then the rest of the ice and the material comes back towards the vortex and it conglomerates as a shell or a crust around, and that's how the planet is formed. So the crust blocks the center of the black hole's activity and gives a visual kind of effect of a keystone. If you imagine an arch coming together, all these pieces come together and just lock into place. And so the planet is formed with a black hole at the center and then surrounded by water, which underlies the crust. And at the end of this explanation, Radu is just amazed. And he doesn't know whether he's been given truth or he's like being fed some kind of fantasy story. And Dr. Shen says that science often thinks that it's reached the pinnacle of understanding, only to find out later that they only had a piece of the picture. Science reaches a point where it thinks it understands, only to be given new information, which expands the understanding to a new level. He calls this the evolutionary stages of development. So then Radu takes another tact and asks Dr. Shen, is this process he describes, is it the result in enough crust to support life on a planet? And Dr. Shen tells him that these things don't happen by accident, as scientists believe. He says what they call the spontaneity of creation is actually the fruit of necessity. It has to be that way. He explains that how a planet develops depends on the destiny of the manifesting soul that is the planet. and the coordinates and conditions of the local region it's in, but the manifesting soul of the planet, a being on an evolutionary development trajectory, just like us, only different. So the way a planet evolves is all part of a plan, a destiny that the being who is this planet designed. To me, that was like a door opening on a whole new way to see life. And then Dr. Shen explains that while this is happening, the interior of the planet's also being formed, again, according to the plan, and having the black hole at its center. So everything reaches a balance and is kept there because of the conscious activity of the central black hole. Dr. Shen calls it an evolved spirit taking care of what it created. Next.
Yes. At this point, we have the other people. We have actually Trina coming up. Trina,
yeah.
What Michael's sharing?
I will pick up from there. And so Radu wants to keep digging at this. He wants more information. And so he starts asking, and Dr. Shen finally says, you know, sometimes what ends up happening is that it's not mandatory to create something on the outside, but it can heat up and it can create an atmosphere and it can create a habitat or not. Again, it all depends upon the destiny of this planet. And he says, there becomes a balance between the inside and the outside. And it creates all these different possibilities. So if you think about life on the planet that we have right now, think of all the possibilities that can be created here. He said stars are very similar too to the Earth, except for the fact where the Earth, the black hole's smaller, and it pushes out water in the form of ice. Stars are different. They have a larger black hole, and what manifests from that is fire. It has an element of fire. So the element of fire will actually begin to heat up and express out. And they said, Dr. Shen explains that this is because a star has a different mission than a planet. It has a different mission than an asteroid. It has a different mission than a comet. Each one of these have a black hole in the center, but they've got a different purpose, a different destiny. So while Radu really wants to get back into asking more questions, Dr. Shen really wants him to focus on our planet, our inner Earth, and the fact that the water comes from this interior and it's created from the black hole. And he said, as the water comes out, it creates oceans, it creates lakes, it creates different kinds of depths and zones. And so Radu, he's getting kind of concerned and he says, wait a minute, this is not what they're teaching. This is not what we've heard everybody say. And Dr. Shen says, don't worry about it. This is important. You really need to look at the foundation of what's there. So he says, recognize that these answers from modern science now, they're all based on materialistic principles. They're limited. They're based on stupidity. Scientists don't understand how, they don't understand a vacuum. They don't understand consciousness. How in the world could they understand how a black hole creates matter?
For sure.
So he says now, in this, just think about a three-year-old. If you try and explain like quantum physics to a three-year-old, how are they going to understand that? They're all focused on, let's go play in the sand. Let's go play in the playground. They're not going to be focused on doing this and they can't comprehend it. So he says, kind of let go of what all these worries and just really take this in. And he says, what's really important is that you get these key pieces, that the black hole, there's a conversion on the inside from the black hole. There's a condensation from a subtle plane into the material plane. The converter is the black hole. And this water is pushed out in the form of ice. It combines with dust and creates the crust around the black hole. And then it supplies, as the water gets caught inside, it creates an inner ocean. And eventually what happens is it pushes through the crust and creates the oceans around the world and the water around the world. And that's really where it kind of leaves off at this point.
That's really, really good. And at this point, just understanding what you said and the direction that we're taking them, I really know that a lot of the people who've called in and actually texted and stuff this week, they're actually saying, you know, that we get lost in the description of it and everything. And I want to say to the people that are with us, you need to order and have this book. Okay, there is so much in depth in it, and when I'm asking the co-host to actually pick parts and discuss it with you and everything, it will be more to your benefit that you have the book and that you spend time with this. This is some deep material, right, co-host? All of you working with it, this is deep material even for you to work, and now you're trying to actually deliver it with some sense of logic and something that people can actually understand. So I'm saying to our listeners, this time for sure, you need to have this book, okay? And those of you who are saying this book is taking you to different places and actually you feel you're on your own journey, it's exactly what this book does. All of us here on this show become tremendously excited just in reading the beginning of the book, just parts of the beginning. We all, and of course, we're all in depth in all of this, okay? And so we got the excitement of it. So I appreciate how my co-hosts are actually delivering the message and giving it to you. And there's great clarity, guys, in how you're actually presenting it. But I would say to those who are critical of it, you cannot just sit. If this is really very new for you, you cannot get it at all unless for sure you have the book. And if you've actually studied some in depth and have some avenue of understanding about it, you will not get the full power and impact of the excitement and the information here until you do have this book. So please remember to get out and get the book. And that book is actually called Inside the Earth, and it's Radu Sinemar, okay? And definitely have your book by next week so that you can jump on this with us. And we're going to come in now and actually let Marianne Love from Melbourne. I'll get it right here. Melbourne, Australia. So in the down under, come on up and talk to us.
Hi there. This is Marianne. Yeah, I'm loving this book. It really, I love it when books expand your mind and just blow away the cobwebs of old science and old thoughts. And this book is certainly doing that for me. It really is opening up some doors. So it's really good. And so I totally get in this part of the book, which is we're on page 55 now, that Radu shares just how hard it is for him to overcome some of those really limited materialistic ideology that explains the old theories about how the earth was formed. For example, accretion theory, where the forming and the growth of the earth occurred in layers due to gravity. And all these materialistic theories of how the earth was formed actually don't take into account the fifth element. And some of the more closed-minded would say this fifth element is like a philosophy or even fantasy and nothing sort of factual or scientific. And yet others would talk about this fifth element as spirit or consciousness. And so even with all his training and out-of-the-box experiences, he noticed that inner resistance to expanding his mind to the knowledge that the center of the earth is in fact a black hole that emits water to form its earth's layers, just as our co-host has so shared so well. So, and he also talks about now that the way that this occurs in the earth is similar to what occurs in the cosmic black hole. And this is where the stars and the cosmic dust and particles and stones and boulders form that disk around the cosmic black hole. And so, and they stay there as long as they stay far enough away from the center of their black hole that they don't get sucked in. And so that takes us to the end of this section.
Wonderful, wonderful. And as we're moving along and everything, every point you make, and Marianne, I can tell you're enthusiastic because you're just smiling from ear to ear, okay? And for those of you who are listening to us, we're talking to each other through Zoom. So we've got a few facial expressions that you're missing in that. But we do make it a podcast, so check on that too. But we're going to move on now and actually let Rosemary Heyer from Frankfurt, Germany, bring in her perspective on it.
Yes, thank you. This is Rosemary from Frankfurt, Germany, and I'm on page 56, 57, and the author, Radu, is still at odds with how water is a base of forming a planet. He's still keeping asking, and Dr. Shen takes another angle to make it more clear. He refers to comets, and he says a comet, you know, a comet is like something like a big, dirty snowball consisting of ice and dust. And he's asking the question, well, where did that comet receive the ice from? And he states again that the black hole is pushing the ice into the cosmos, and that is where the comet is created. But then he asks an even more interesting question, where did the water in its subtle form come from? And I actually looked up subtle in the Cambridge Dictionary, and they said it's imperceptible. But what he really means, what Dr. Shen really means, is a concept of subtle matter, of subtle bodies. And just in the way I just want to describe it now, very simply, is it's like an energetic blueprint of the real water. And I think we might have more time to talk about subtle bodies and matter. So we heard before that from this subtle form, the black hole condenses the liquid, the water. And he also says that accretion theory Marianne was already mentioning does not hold. And one way he explains it is that, yes, it says that it is planets are created by accumulation of particles. But what about the gas giants? What about my beloved gas giant Jupiter? I mean, they haven't even found the core yet there. So how is this planet created? And Dr. Shen makes a point that both these terrestrial planets, which is Mars, Mercury, Venus, and Earth, the inner planets, and the outer planets are formed in the same way. There is no difference. So it cannot be just an accumulation of particles. And then Radu asks, well, why does science not understand this? What are they really missing? And again, Dr. Shen states the same thing, and he has done it before, and he said before, it's the materialistic view of science, just the space and time event they're looking at, and they're not looking beyond that. I mean, they would never accept or understand that there is a subtle etheric matter of water, right? And and Radu is really very excited about it. He can hardly sleep after his first discussion with Dr. Shen about the inner Earth. And he's now moving on to get ready for his expedition. And he's going to be led by Cesar Brett. And just a very quick reminder for the old and new listeners, Cesar is a very key figure. He has received extensive training from Dr. Shen in psychic disciplines. And he has actually handpicked Radu to write these books.
That's great.
And has traveled many times to the inner Earth. And they're going to be together now on their expedition.
Wonderful, wonderful for sharing that. Okay, we have also, for those of us who understand what we consider the Yud-Sai Society, can you now understand the particular prayer and acknowledgments you do in Yud-Sai's prayer that we all came from the frozen lakes? You know what I mean? And so there's some indigenous groups that are actually listening to our broadcast that come back with, oh, this helps us so much more to explain and understand that everything comes from the frozen lakes. So it was really cool to hear that. And this book brings that forward. Okay, we have to now move on and let Geraldine Dalby Ball actually come on and express her particular part of this program. And Geraldine from Sydney, Australia, are you on and can we hear from you?
Absolutely. And a key place to start is you go as far as your individual consciousness allows you. And that picks up on what we were just hearing about in terms of the different layers of the body. And as it was said, you know, whether it's a human body or a planet, it's all living bodies. And this part of the book starts with saying, it's looking at that questioning again, saying, well, if you could have a look inside the Earth as we travel, what would it look like? And the answer comes back again, no, it just doesn't compute. You can't just say, you can just go in. Because again, we have a sharing that you've got to have that ability, that software. You can imagine being in a room and listening to radio without having a radio. You're not going to pick up on the radio waves. You're not going to pick up on the different songs. Everywhere around us right now, there's a whole lot of songs and chat and music and everything. But unless we have a radio that we tune in, we're not going to hear it. And that's how I see what they're talking about in terms of going into the planet. You're not going to pick it up unless you have that ability. And as it says here, the ability is as far as you have taken it. So that's the beginning of the message here. And there's a subtle message in every page that's telling us what's going on, you know, internally that we can reflect on. The one I saw was this key point where it said, Raju could assimilate more via many viewpoints. And that's what it's giving us, the book again. So that's why it's so good to get the book. You're getting a viewpoint. It's quite a different viewpoint to the standard. So that will really help allow one's own appreciation. And that's what's shared as well. It's your own appreciation. Then the question is, well, when we pass through, does it happen quickly? Is it sudden? And the answer is no, it's gradual. It's gradual. And the word subtle is used again. And subtle, when you look that up, it just means something that's almost imperceivable. It just happens. And then it's told that we go through the plasma. What does that mean? It means where we have charged particles that haven't taken form yet. And then there's the word rarefied. This is the description as we go through. Rarefied is when it becomes less dense. So what we're taking on this journey, that actually as we move through, it's getting more into what one may see as potential. There's the ingredients there, but then it's going to take us and how far we've got to put those ingredients together. So now that we've got that little piece of information, it also lets us know, well, where do you get in? And as it says, you cannot get in by force. And this is really interesting because if you go back to the beginning of the book, we can recall there's military personnel here, there's presence here, there's different countries, there's espionage, there's all sorts of things. But it's just a principle. You cannot get in by force. And again, this is another message for us every day. Many perceptives get lots of information. It's not force. And there's nobody punishing us. We go as far as our own consciousness. This is all just in a page and a half. So grab the book. And then we've got this beautiful picture, which is where we're up to, page 59. At the bottom there, there's a lovely picture of the Earth. And for anyone who's played with magnets and those lovely images of iron filings around, you see that beautiful shape, the magnetic shape, same around our beautiful Earth, same around us, same around a magnet. That shape says when the magnetic lines, so you can see they're going into the top of the Earth. If you've got the book, have a look at page 59. As the magnetic lines go in the top like that, that's in alignment with gravity. Because as you can imagine, if we're talking about, and again, seeing the Simhara means information for gravity. But if we're talking about the Earth as this idea of a ball, gravity is all around the edges, pulling in, pulling in, pulling in. So we're talking about gravity pulling this way. That's how we're taught it. So it's at the top and the bottom that these lines are now in alignment with gravity. So we've got gravity up and down. We've got the magnetics up and down. That's the place it gets in. And that's what they say, where the gravitational lines and the magnetic lines are in alignment with each other, which is the pole, that's the easier access. But still, you're only going to get as far as your mind can take you. And that's where I'll leave it for this moment.
Right, very good. And I love what you, the expression you gave. But I'm asking the co-host, please remember that we have listeners. Right now we're on Zoom and the demonstration you just did with your hands was excellent. Okay. And just make sure that you know when you're actually giving your report that your people are going to be listening and not looking. And then if they go to the podcast, yes, of course, they're going to actually see the demonstration you just did, which was fantastic. And now we're going to let Mike come back and add some stuff that he wants to share. Mike.
Okay, so now we've reached the point here where Radu, he's not quite sure, and he asks, okay, how can it happen that physical matter, like a digging machine, could be blocked? I mean, I understand consciousness and people, but like a digging machine? And so Caesar gives him the example of a space capsule that's returning to Earth. And if any of you remember back in the days of when they went to the moon and came back, it was very important that they come back to the Earth at just the right angle, because if they come in too steep, what happens is they hit the atmosphere, there's too much friction, and they burn up. And if they come in too shallow, at too shallow an angle, it actually can bounce right off the atmosphere of the Earth and off into space and go forever. And so it's very important they have to hit this exact angle that it just slows them down enough that they can, you know, get through the atmosphere and stop. And I kind of thought about this, and it's a little bit like when you skip stones across a pond. You know how when you skip the stone, it has to be just at that right angle so that it'll skip? Well, think about it this way. If you throw it too shallow, it goes blump, and it just doesn't do anything, right? And if you throw it at another angle, it skips. Well, imagine if you had to throw it at just the perfect angle that it hit the water, slid along the top, and stopped. How precise that would have to be. So that's kind of what he's saying. Caesar says the rule is primarily the same for entering the inside of the Earth. At the poles where the magnetic field lines are entering, that's the best place to enter the inside of the Earth. And you can pass through stages, going first from the etheric and then progressively through more and more subtle planes all the way to the center. And obviously, as we've said, you can only go as far as your level of consciousness is adapted to the journey. Radu says he understands that the human body, and he's got this figured out. He says he understands that the human body is like a physical covered by increasing subtler bodies until you get to the causal body, but that he's heard that planets are different. So Caesar says, no, you've got the image wrong here. That's incorrect. The subtle bodies don't just extend outwards, but also in the other direction, and that the material body is actually impregnated by these subtle bodies. And he says, in the case of the planets, we start at the physical body, which is the outside, and move towards the center where the causal body resides. The causal body in this case, of course, is the black hole. So yeah. Caesar says that while they seem different, they're the same. The highest spiritual frequency of the planet is at the spiritual center where the black hole is. And in fact, the journey towards spiritual evolution of the human has always been from the outside towards the inside to the spiritual core, not to the exterior. So he says they seem different, but in reality, they're the same.
Right. Very, very good. Very good. And I need to say to our listeners, at the end of each show, our co-hosts actually do a great summary of exactly where they're going. And I feel in that you're going to get a lot more sense of exactly who the co-hosts are and what their interest is. So make sure that you go to our Facebook and our website and actually see and read and follow a lot of the inside stuff that we're doing that you're not getting on the show. So we're going to move on now and let Joyce Mullenhauer actually, Joyce, you want to add some things to what Mike's been talking about?
Well, what I'd like to say is that this next section talks so much again about the locals or the current scientists and how they tend to be stubborn in defending their materialistic answers. And the word materialistic is used a lot here because science tends to want to be able to prove. And if they can't prove it, then they make some reason why it can't be true. So the longstanding accretion theory was one example of how the scientists have held on to the only way a planet can be formed is to have huge boulders crashing into each other and then joining. So that was just an example they used about local science or current science. So what intrigues me is the stubborn holding on to why they hold this limited thinking, because in my mind, a scientist has explored so much, you would think they would be expansive in their minds, but they are more inclined to want to see something obvious that's material. And that's, you could say they almost participate in a guessing game. So Caesar shares that what his explanation is about all stars and planets either create themselves or they are created with the black hole principle. So these are two parts that helps us expand our minds to think that a planet has a consciousness before it's formed that it can actually create itself. So that excited me. And I certainly look forward to having my mind expanded further with all of that. Now, Caesar gives three words to explain what he thinks keeps scientists in their limited materialistic concepts. He uses the word hubris, which is that ancient word for excessive pride beyond all concepts of understanding. And heaven forbid that they might be wrong when they are working with hubris. and arrogance and routine, and they are wanting to stay with something that's concrete, that's regular. And I think we can relate that to some of us in our growth, that sometimes we think we would prefer to stay with something routine, and that doesn't help us grow, that's for sure. So science at this time is not open to a different situation, but Caesar concludes that the main barrier to the scientific process is their insisting to conceive the world from a completely materialistic view. So it's not too hard in my head to realize it might not be that big a step for them. At one point, a crack in the understanding will happen, and then we'll have them having an expanded view.
Wonderful, wonderful. Okay, now we're going to go and let Trina add some. Trina is all excited and wants to share a few more. So Trina, you there?
I sure am. And, you know, it's kind of, Radu's kind of in this same place of just going like, I don't understand why scientists think that this is so difficult, why they can't get their head around it. And Cesar actually says, well, you know, they actually kind of had it backwards. They created a theory of the stars coming from these dust clouds that get pulled together through gravity, and they're spinning and they create this form, and everything pulls together and becomes a planet. It solidifies into this planet. He said, actually, it's opposite of that. Actually, a vortex appears, a black hole appears, and it's rotating, and it condenses and begins to push out the material. And then the material begins to form around it, and then you actually see the physical form of a planet. So Radu, he's just amazed. I mean, he's so excited about this, kind of like me going, wow, I need to shed everything that I knew that I was told that's on a, maybe came from a theoretical foundation, and open up and listen to some of this. And Radu's like, these are mysteries. We want to understand these mysteries. And Cesar actually says, you know, now there actually are some scientists that are beginning to look at things a little bit differently. They're beginning to see that, like electrons and protons and neutrons, they're thinking that, wait a minute, they're formed in the middle of a black hole. And some other ones are saying, wait a minute, it appears that things are forming out of nothing and then disappearing back into nothing. These are things that scientists are actually proving nowadays, and they're seeing nowadays. And he says this cosmic vacuum really exists. But in that, he said, basically what science is beginning to see and understand and talk about is that any small vortex that exists in the cosmos is really a black hole. And that this energy in these is continually, it's condensed, then it's manifested out, and it's swirling, and it pulls things back in. And if you think about a drain, when the water is swirling around a drain, it kind of gives you a visual of what that looks like. But his real point is science is beginning to reverse some of the things that they think, and they're beginning to look in other directions.
Wonderful. Now, like I said, you could hear the excitement in Trina for sure when she goes, we're talking about it. Okay, really good. So let's go to Rosemary now in Frankfurt, Germany. Rosemary, you have some things you want to add to it?
Yeah. Again, Radu is asking the question, I wonder if scientists ever would understand or listen to this. And he, Caesar says the same thing again, like, you know, that they're believing in chaos and they're believing in coincidences, that things are happening. And just like Mike said before, there are no accidents. And he makes an interesting point. He said that scientists actually must find the connecting element and the essence, or what I maybe would call the grand design, the intentions behind all of this. And he said they must really make a conceptual jump and acknowledge the existence of this subtle plane and the etheric plane and all the other planes we were talking about. So this is a big jump they need to make. And he also feels that there are still many mysteries which need to be discovered. And he says that some of it they understand. And then there's this little star in the bottom of the page, which relates to the Bose-Einstein condensate. And I can just quickly share, I'm going to just keep it really simple. Actually, in 1990, only in 1990, even though it was discovered from Einstein and Bose a long time ago, they finally were able to create a Bose-Einstein condensate. What is it? Actually, what it is, it's not gas, it's not fluid, it's no matter as we know it all. Actually, what they say, it is outside of this world, which is interesting. It's outside of the world of the science, just. And they don't know, actually, they cannot see it, but it is existing, and it has nothing to do with the material or the how we understand matter so far. But they have been able to create it by really lowering matter down to close to zero. And it's actually called the fifth state of matter. And he's relating that to that they do understand some things now. They understand that there's something outside of their understanding, but they don't know really how well to use it. And that's pretty the part I have.
Very, very good. Thank you very much. So we're going to go back now and let Marianne Love in Melbourne. Marianne, do you have some things you want to share?
I do. Well, I love this bit because this bit takes us to a step-by-step guide in how to get into the inner earth. So, you know, so if you look on the pictures on page 63 and 64, I think it gives really the best explanation. So if you look at these pictures, you'll see it's hard to describe, and I think Geraldine did a wonderful job before. But you'll see the round earth, you'll see the magnetic fields around the earth, a bit like the images of the Taurus, if you've ever seen that, it looks like that. And then at the poles of the Earth, you'll see where the magnetic field aligns with the gravitational field. And it shows you the bits where it's actually higher intensity and lower intensity at the poles. So it's really worth looking at that image to get a better understanding of what we're talking about here. But Caesar really said that it's easier at the poles because you get a shared resonance between the frequency of the etheric plane and the individual's frequency. So here's how you do it. You get in a boat at one of the poles and point in the direction of the magnetic field and drive at a constant speed, so not fluctuating. If you fluctuate your speed, you're going to miss the point where the magnetic field lines of the poles are aligned with the gravitational field. So, and remember, this won't work at the equator because the magnetic lines are perpendicular, which means a 90-degree angle to the gravitational field. So with that, they won't get the same vibrational impact on our physical bodies. So at the point of the poles, the gravitational field and the magnetic field are going in the same direction. So it actually has quite a different vibrational impact on the human body. So it's right at the edge of the magnetic cone of the Arctic. The magnetic field is really strong, becomes aligned with the gravitational field. So when we're aligned, they strongly energize the physical body of the people on the boat. So when you've got this shared resonance between the frequency of the individuals on the boat and the etheric plane at this point, so then you enter the magnetic cone and the intensity of this field now gets lower, but the vibrational frequency of the body of the atoms actually rise. And that allows you to pass through the etheric plane along the lines of the magnetic field. And that's how you enter the inner earth in a step-by-step process.
Wonderful and exciting. On next week's show, what I'm going to actually do is share some of the what we consider Eskimos or the Inuit people who actually go in and out of the inner earth. We'll actually share a lot more details, a little different than what we've just heard, but definitely share some of their experiences with that. So that's coming up next week. For right now, let's see what Geraldine Dalby Ball has to say from Sydney, Australia.
It's a continuation of that exciting sharing that Marianne gave us. And I'd just like to do a quick reflection of what happens like when you actually read a book like this and not just read the pages and not just look at the pictures, but have time in between. Read it and then allow and then go back and read it. And in that allowing time, and even again just hearing Marianne say it, the things that I had already written were how getting inside the inner earth relates to us as an entity as well. So the key message then was, when you're aligned with the magnetics and the gravity, it's easier to get in. And for me, there's a parallel. When you're aligned with your purpose, when you're aligned with the earth, when you're aligned with universal principles, hey, things are easier. Waha. The second thing was when they said, when there's a direct focus, that means you know where you're going. You're going into the North Pole. You're definitely going to the pole, not a bit this way, not a bit that way. That's when it manifests and happens. The other thing is that it said you have to have a constant speed to be able to pass through. So this means, this said to me, you know, when I said, well, how come when it does and doesn't work for me, that it sometimes, that it's stop, start, stop, start. So key principle here is telling us you've got to be constant. You've got to be on focus and you've got to be in alignment. And what these pages show us, they start right here saying there's three ways you can get in or not get in. The first one, and again, this will be a little bit visual, so get yourself the book, because on page 66, it has a really good diagram, but I pray see that as well by saying even the author tells us this is a materialistic picture. It's a perspective. It doesn't mean it's how it is. It's trying to encapsulate something so much bigger, but allow this to be a beginning for you and let it unravel how it does. But that first bit is when you're not quite on focus, you're not going towards the pole. You stay in the material plane. You don't get inside the earth. Simple, but you're close. The second one, you're in the vicinity of, but you're not quite exactly in alignment. You could feel something. You have a feeling, something happened here. It's a bit unusual. And as he says, you may even get information downloads. Now, again, we're talking about going into the inner earth, but how much does that happen in your own day, in your own life, that you're almost on? Something's just a bit, So how does it say to get into the earth? You need to be totally specific that you're heading for the pole. You need to be totally in alignment with those magnetic and gravitational lines, because what it's telling us is that our physical form, our mental form, our astral, our subtle, all of that makes up us is then influenced. And it says you actually enter the etheric plane. And as was shared earlier, the etheric plane, the word comes from ether. And when you look that up, it means the vital body, or ether is the element that conducts. So now we're not a thing, we're an element that conducts. So what is there that can limit us when we move to that? We're now part of all. So that's what it's really saying to me. This third way, the way to get in, is we become, and as it says again on this page, as it said through the whole chapter, it's based on our individual frequency. So the whole earth at this place is making it as possible as it can be, but it's up to us to move to a conductor. That's the ether, to be a conductor rather than to be a thing. And that's really what lets us into the earth, to not be.
That's the not be, okay? And we're doing meditations that tells us that we're not real and that we're empty space, right? And unified field. So we're going to get there. We just need to keep going along and pedaling around. You all have done an excellent sharing of what the book is, where the book has taken us and everything. And again, as Geraldine just said, please, listeners, get the book Inside the Earth. The Second Tunnel is called, and it's by Radu Sinamar. Okay, and actually have that for us next week. Follow the illustrations in this book are actually really necessary. So let us know that you got your book and that you're moving forward with us. We also want to thank you for going on our website and actually looking at our Facebook. Please go there and start looking for your co-hosts. And some of you are saying some of the co-hosts, are, you find them very characteristic and you're very warm to them. Let them know that. They want to know that. So go to the Facebook and the website and actually let them know. So remember, go to Law of Attraction Radio Network and actually hear us on the radio, but also check in with us on podcasts. And definitely, please come let us know who you are by coming to our Facebook and to our internet. Okay. See you later. OCO.
Thank you for listening to Quantum Leap Book Club. For more information, where you can contact us, go to loaradionetwork.com/quantum-leap. Have a great week.